when we're in that season, it feels like that's exhilarating, that's enlivening, that's also like what we have to do, and it's like this push, there's no other way, we have to do it like this. But there comes a point where that becomes exhausting and one doesn't want that anymore.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I am the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman, coaching company dedicated to the ultra successful woman. I'm also your host here on the podcast, where we talk about a new version of success. We're going to be diving into ambition and power and what it takes to create an exquisite life for the ultra successful woman. What does that look like? So today we have an amazing woman as a guest on the podcast. I know you're going to love this conversation. She is Tricia Meyer. She is the founder and managing attorney of Meyer Law, has significantly impacted the legal and entrepreneurial landscapes by supporting startups to large tech companies, including Shark Tank participants and Inc. 500 firms. Recognized on the Forbes Next 1000 and as one of Chicago's most influential female lawyers, Meyer leverages her unique blend of legal expertise and entrepreneurial spirit to mentor thousands of startups and scaling companies at tech incubators and accelerators across the United States, such as 1871, WeWork Labs, and TechStars. Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, Tricia. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Okay, fantastic. So I want to dive right into your origin story. Like, you know, we all have a particular path to business and how we got there and what drove us. What was yours?
So for me, I worked at a courthouse when I was younger in my earlier years, and my dad worked at a courthouse as well. He's the one that helped me get the job there. And so I was around lawyers and courtrooms and all of those things at a very young age. And my dad always told me that I should become a judge. He thought they had the best life. They got to leave at 3 o'clock and go golfing and thought it would be the perfect thing for me, which I don't golf, a side note. but he thought it would be the best for me. So he always kept telling me, you know, go to law school, become a lawyer. And so he really inspired me to go to law school. I thought for sure I was going to be a litigator. But when I got out, I got a couple different job offers. One at a litigation firm making next to nothing, and another at a software company making substantially more. And given that I had graduated with a substantial amount of loans, I thought, you know what, this job sounds cool with a software tech company. I'm going to take it. It's kind of a mix of business and legal. Sounds really exciting. I'd be negotiating against network television, stations, and thought that it sounded really interesting and a better alternative than, you know, making next to nothing coming out of law school. So that is how I ended up in tech and being a lawyer.
I love it. I love it. So I read that you had zero experience, like most people, building a book of business. I think it's the rare few that like learn this strategy from someone or in their family. Most entrepreneurs have to, you know, they're scruffy. We figure it out. So you had zero experience building a book of business. And now, as far as I know, you have expanded beyond Chicago to Denver and LA as well. And I know you have some big things in the works beyond that. How did you do that? Like when you think, like, and I'm not looking for that standard answer. Well, you know, I did this and this and this, right? Like, what do you think made you different? Because not everyone really creates that level of success.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's so kind of you. We also have an office in Traverse City as well. And I think it comes from my passion, really, of wanting to help other entrepreneurs and other business owners. As an entrepreneur myself and a lawyer, I do think it gives me kind of a unique perspective and a unique way of interacting with folks when we talk about both the business and the legal things. So that gives us kind of a different perspective, I think. And so, you know, I've trained my team in that way as well. I think our approach is very different. We offer a lot of fixed fee packages for the early stage companies. We offer GC packages for the growing companies. That gives them certainty around their legal fees, which is one of the main complaints around your lawyer and your law firm is, you know, the unexpected fees or the, you know, massive amount of fees. And so just trying to have more transparency and certainty around that. So I think it's kind of a collective of all of those things that have helped us find success and grow as quickly as we have.
What do you think makes the entrepreneurial mindset?
I think it's taking on a certain level of risk, wanting to, you know, create your own path, build your own thing, define your own success, you know, in a different way.
Have you always been a risk taker?
I would say so, yeah. And I didn't even know it. I didn't even really know that I was an entrepreneur until, you know, until I got older. You know, I didn't grow up around entrepreneurs. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a deputy sheriff, you know? So I didn't grow up around it. And I've discovered it later in life for sure.
Are there places in your life where, well, I know that you'll take bigger risks in business, but are there places in your life where you won't take risks, where you feel that you don't have that risk-taking quality?
No, I think it's all about being educated, right? And making calculated risks, making sure that you understand the situation, the information around it, and then, you know, deciding based on that. I think that's really important to look at the realistic risks. I think some people are like a deer in headlights and hate any type of risk. And we have some clients that way. So we'll counsel them accordingly. And, you know, we make sure that all of their agreements are totally buttoned up the exact way that they would want it. But we have other clients who are willing to take on risk and they only want to be protected in certain ways. And so, you know, as long as they're aware of their risks, then, you know, we can help guide them in that manner. So I think it just depends. But for me, I think I've always kind of taken some kind of risk, you know, so long as it's educated, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, right? It mitigates the risk, but you're also, I think people who don't feel, even when they have all the information, the ability to take risks, they're leaning into the fear instead of the faith side of
right.
things. The like, oh yeah, I have the capacity, I have the authority, I have
right.
the agency. And
I like to say I'm a realistic optimist. I think it's really, it's a necessary trait to have as an entrepreneur. You have to be optimistic, but you have to be realistic too.
I 100% agree. So what achievement in your business journey have you been most proud of?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say there's two, actually. I can't narrow it down to one.
Two is fine. I'll take two.
The first is I was named on the Forbes Next 1000 list, which I think is a highlight of me as both an entrepreneur and a lawyer, which I think is really important. I think sometimes people just stick me in the service provider box, but I'm more than that as an entrepreneur. And so I think that really highlights, you know, both of those things, which I think, again, are really important and why we are so different. And then the second thing is I launched another business called The Clever Baby, and our first product, Jet, is a teether and a dispenser in one. The little teether pops off and it's the perfect shape for the baby to grasp and get relief to those back teeth.
You can okay, use the dispenser. So hold on. Yeah. Let's hold that up again. For those who are not watching but listening, this is like a little... It's like an airplane, or is that like a shark?
It's an airplane.
It's an airplane. Okay. They both have fins, by the way. And it's this cute, adorable, what is it made out of?
It's like a silicone material.
Okay.
It's an elastomer or something or another. Like, I'm thinking of the technical name, but it's a silicone material that's safe for babies. Perfect shape for them to get relief to those back teeth without gagging. Perfect shape for them to grasp. Has the raised surfaces for sensory stimulation and all of that. But the big news here is that we were accepted and participated in Target's Forward Founders Accelerator Program. So we just wrapped that up in December, but what an honor to have Target, you know, by our side, teaching us the ropes of retail. It was
a really great experience. Yeah. So tell me, how did you get selected? What was the journey for that?
Yes. So there was an application process. So submitted an application, and then had a couple of interviews. And then from there, we were accepted into the program.
What was the toughest question that they asked you in that interview?
Maybe the only difficult thing, and I don't even know if this is anything worth noting, would be who our three competitors are, because it's hard to find early stage baby product companies that have innovation like we do. We do have a utility patent on Jet, and there's just not a lot of innovation in the baby space. So it was hard for me to find three competitors that were, you know, very in startup mode. Were well established.
And tell us again, because I was so excited. I was talking over you. I wanted to describe the product. What is on the inside of that product?
The inside of it, it's just like, it just fits right over the dispenser. So there's nothing really in there. It's all made of the same material. And then there's eyes painted on there and a number 8, which represents our family of 8.
Oh, that's great. And what does it dispense?
It dispenses medicine or baby food purees. With medicine, sometimes it can be a challenge giving little ones medicine. So Jet makes it easier. It's a really great distraction. And then with feeding baby food purees, less mess, more nutrients end up in baby's mouth. Of course, it doesn't take the place of traditional utensils like a spoon or a fork. But if you're on the go, you need to feed with less mess. You need more nutrients to make it to baby's mouth. Jet is a great option.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm fascinated by these kinds of situations. I know that you've represented people who have been on Shark Tank. Tell us about the synergy there. What did you learn representing those people, and how did that impact how you went forward with Target?
Yeah, I think, well, those are two separate things. The Target thing is really related to the Clever Baby and Jet, our first product, Jet. The Shark Tank companies that we represent, I mean, honestly, it's great that we're representing Shark Tank companies and Inc. 500 companies and all of these companies that have received all these accolades and, you know, just across the United States and beyond. But we really help them all in the same way. You know, it's really helping them with the transactional part of their business that they need to start up and scale on a firm foundation, and then helping them with all of the day-to-day issues that come up. So there really wasn't anything, you know, specific or different necessarily about those Shark Tank companies or other companies that have received great accolades. It's usually the same kind of run-of-the-mill issues, founders disputes, contract disputes, employee disputes, and then, you know, just making sure that they have that strong foundation of contracts necessary for the different relationships, make sure that they're following the corporate formalities, you know, making sure that they're adhering to privacy laws, you know, make sure that they're protecting their brand with trademarks, make sure that if they're raising money, they are, you know, in a really good position to do so. You know, all of those types of things kind of run the same across all the companies that we support.
Hey there, I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success and building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode. So was this Clever Baby product a longtime desire? What was the origin story on that? Because that's a very different, like, these are not the, right, like, different channels of the same business. These are radically different businesses. Yeah.
You are so right. I mean, two totally different businesses. It's insane. And when I had the idea, again, it came from a place of passion. And I'll tell you about when we had the idea. My husband and I were feeding our youngest of 6, and his teeth were bothering him. He was crying and miserable, and we'd given him some Tylenol. And so the dispenser was sitting next to his baby food, and we're trying to feed him, and more was all over his face than really getting into his mouth. And we're like, is he even getting any food? So we took the dispenser and we filled it with baby food, and we put a little bit into his mouth, and he had an immediate smile on his face. I will never forget it. And from there, we're like, oh my gosh, he's loving this. Let's feed him this way for a little bit and just see, you know? And so we did that. And then we looked into whether or not a product like this exists, and it didn't. And so then from there, we started the process of finding a team that could help us bring this to reality.
I love it. I love it. And then you are running your multi-office law firm. You are running a startup and you're running a household, maybe co-doing that with your husband, but you're a mother of six. That begs the question. And I know that there are going to be a lot of people out there like, how does she do that? Like, where do the extra hours in the day come from? So let's just dig right into like, how do you strategize? Like, how do you start your day? How do you focus? How do you stay present? Like what on the tactical, like if someone wanted to like stop, pull over from the side of the road and start taking notes, right? Like what are you doing that is allowing for that?
Two things: being really organized with my calendar and allocating certain time for certain things, knowing that it can change though from time to time, right? With kids, there's sicknesses, there's doctor's appointments, there's all of these things that come out of left field. So you've got to be okay with some level of change, but getting your calendar, I think, situated and how you're going to allocate your time, and then building a team really is how to do it, just to be able to lean on other people and rely on people to help you with things in your business to move things forward. Those are really the ways.
So let's talk about building a team. What were some of the hardest aspects of that?
Hiring is so difficult. It is so difficult. The person that you meet in the interview is not always the person who reports to the job. Let's say that, you know, I mean, and then
I'm like, learn the hard way, right?
Yes, right, exactly. And then it's such a time suck to have to train people, right? Like getting people on board with all of your different processes and procedures and messaging, and this is how we do this and that. And then all of a sudden it doesn't work out. Oh. So I think what I've done along the way is we try to put processes around everything and document everything. So that way, as we have new team members, which doesn't happen too often, but as we do, we can very easily transfer things over from one person to another. I think that's helped a lot. I think also doing a personality screening is helpful to make sure that, like, I like my team to have duties that play to their strengths. Mm. If they hate doing something, then I want it off their list and on somebody else's who likes doing that kind of thing. Cause we're all different and we all enjoy different things and all of that. But I feel like by doing that, people can then emphasize their strengths and then we'll just be that much stronger as a team.
What kind of personality screenings do you use?
Yeah, there's this one from the strategy person. It's called PREP, if I remember correctly, PREP, PREP assessment. Mm-hmm. And I think that it helps give us a little bit of insight about the type of person, you know, who would be coming on the team. Because I think not only do they have to have the knowledge, I think they have to be a personality fit. They have to thrive in a very fast-paced environment. You know, we're working with thousands of companies across the board, and some are very early stage, some are growing. All are in a rush for everything and come to us half the time, like, you know, a day too late.
Pants on fire.
Yeah, right. So, and I think somebody who can handle multiple things. So I think, you know, personality fit and culture fit is just as important as the knowledge.
I want to get back to leadership in a moment, but I have a feeling there were a few other things. Like there's organization, managing your calendar,
right?
Hiring good people. Let's pause on the hiring good people, because there is a question I want to throw your way on this, which is, was there a point in your business creation, business building, where there was one key hire? You found that one person who just was able to take things off your plate and allow you to thrive.
Yes, there are two people and they're still in my life today. One's been in my life for almost 12 years and the other for nine. Yeah. And that is my assistant, Chrissy. She is the glue that holds us together. I'm running in 800 different directions. She brings it all together, tells me what I'm doing, where I'm going, what I need to know before I walk into meetings. Like, she just gets me really prepared. Melody on the legal side of things is amazing. She's been by my side for 12 years now. And we are like, we're one in the same almost. Like, I feel like, you know, she's got a lot more knowledge with the corporate stuff and all of that, but like, her approach is very similar to mine, which I know that our clients love. And I know that I can count on Melody for absolutely anything, or Chrissy for absolutely anything.
What do you think in your leadership style has led to that level of longevity and loyalty and synergy.
Yeah, I think as hard as we work, we have a ton of fun. And, you know, we do work remotely, but as we do work remotely, we still are together a lot online and through chat and on the phone and on Zoom and all of those things. So I think the collaborative effort helps. I think they enjoy working in an environment where they have flexibility with their schedule. I think that's really important to them. I think they like the type of work that they do. And I think, you know, we just have fun together with our personalities and just the way that we interact.
Are you vulnerable with your team?
Yeah, I would say so, with certain team members over others, for sure. Mm-hmm.
How would you say, you know, this is the Unstoppable Woman podcast. How would you say being a female CEO, how does that affect your leadership style?
Oh, I think it's such a differentiator. I mean, as women, we just see things from a different perspective, you know, and I think see that certain things are more important than other things, right? Like family first, always. I think those things have kind of helped, I think. Mm-hmm. And I have an all-female team, actually.
Oh, that is
worth mentioning. And not necessarily, you know, not by choice. We've interviewed men for different positions.
Okay, just, I have to go there. Yeah. I have to go there. I know I'm probably going to get dinged big time for this, but you have an all-female team. I have an all-female team. I've tried to hire men. I have hired men.
Yes.
And I coach a lot of uber successful women, and I hear I'm their trusted advisor behind the scenes. And I hear not every company, not every role, but often like the person that they interviewed is not the person who's playing on the team, and that they're not holding their own. And I wonder what your experience of that has been. Like, is there a difference in work ethic? Is there a difference in loyalty, commitment, communication? Why is it that you have an all-female team?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I don't know what the answer is to that. You know, I don't know. It's just how everything is shaken out, I guess. I don't necessarily think it's work ethic or any of the things that you named, because I feel like that does not matter what, you know, gender you are for those types of things. You know, when you're dealing with someone that doesn't have good work ethic, they got to go as soon as possible, because that will trickle down to your whole team, right? Your whole team will be looking at this person that's doing nothing and they're working so hard. And it's like, wait, what's happening here?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know why we have all females right now, but we do, and it works. And
I'm really curious about that. So if you're a listener out there and you have an opinion on this and you want to pipe up, I am all ears on this, because I've just noticed that there is, it's not everywhere, right? And it, gender should not make a difference, right? You know, right. I don't want to be a reverse, you know, sexist on this. It shouldn't make a difference. People are people. But I'm always curious when there are companies led by women who actually have better success with an all-female team. I'm just curious what the triangulation of that is, like why that might matter. Going deeper on this idea of being a female leader, I talk a lot on this podcast about our masculine essence and our feminine essence. We have both as humans. Men have it, women have it, both. And we need both to be successful. It's like making babies. You need both, right? That's creative life force, right? So is there a time where you find that you're more in your masculine than in your feminine, and it gets out of balance in some way? Or it, and I'm not saying that the masculine is bad. I love my masculine structures, drive, all of that.
I don't think that it's really out of balance. I mean, I think that you have to have a mixture of both being assertive, but having a lot of empathy. So I try to just balance it out that way.
Any challenges with going from running hard in the biz to coming home and being mom, wife, partner?
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on the day. You know, it really depends on the day. usually by the weekends, it's like catch up time, right? Like get everything, you know, because people also, and I don't know if it's because I have six kids or because I'm a lawyer or whatever, people always assume that I have this team of nannies. No, we don't even have like so much as a babysitter over here. So, you know, we do everything on our own, right? We cook, we clean, we, you know, and not that I'm looking for a medal for that, but that is our situation. And we chose early on that we really, you know, once we had four kids, we decided we were just going to structure our lives in a way to where we could be one of us, my husband and I could be with the kids, either one of us, you know, at all times. I think you have to look at what is important to you. And I think that it's also important not to compare to others. I think sometimes people will compare to others. And I think it's good to look at what's right for your situation. But wait a minute, you asked me a question and I went down this rabbit hole. Could you remind me again and then cut sure. this out right here?
I actually thought that was pretty good. Like I'm fascinated by this. And if you're okay leaving it, I think it's fine because I think okay. people need to know that like people make different decisions about yeah. how they choose to run their lives. And right. there was a question that I had about that. And then I'll repeat my first question, which okay. is you said we cook, we clean, we take care of the kids. So is there no room for a housekeeper in your life?
You're funny for asking that.
Well, I'm fascinated because this is one of the things that I often tell, and I'm interested in a different perspective on this. I often yeah. tell people who are early on in their business building, you know, they're still trying to be chief bottle washer, right?
Yes.
On everything in their business. I'm like, yes. you can't do everything in your Correct. Business. So you need to hire there. And you also need to hire in your personal life.
Yes.
And one of the first things that I think that we need to get off our plate is house cleaning. Of course we can 100%. Do it. I grew up cleaning my own house. I did it for years. I know how to clean a toilet. I know how to do everything, right? Yes. I can mop like the best, right? But it's not the highest and best use of my time. I'd rather spend it with the people I love than cleaning the bathroom. So I'm yes. curious about 100%. Your perspective on that.
Yes. That is a forced thing actually, because we moved and where we're at right now, there's just not a lot of reliable housekeepers or cleaning okay. folks. There really aren't. So like I'm living in a place where there's no delivery food, you know, for food.
Like, where'd you move to? So,
yeah, I moved to a little town in northern Michigan.
Oh, this is the transfer city. Yeah.
Well, this is the, Traverse City.
Traverse City. Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. We're about 40 minutes south of Traverse City.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we moved here about 2 years ago now or 3 years ago now. And so it's definitely been a change from Chicago. I mean, we went from delivery of anything, anytime, anywhere to like, oh my gosh, we're going back in time, but yeah. we are surrounded by beauty. And so that's why we moved here, because you cannot beat the view on the shores of Lake Michigan. It is just next level, fills my soul, rejuvenates me every day.
Stunning. Yeah. No, I love that. Do you ever get Zoom fatigue? Because you must be working remotely all the time. Yeah,
sometimes, but I have a lot of calls too. So I don't necessarily yeah. rely on Zoom so much. And then a lot of my work is a lot of just work on the computer, not necessarily a ton of meetings anymore. Before I used to stack my days with 12 to 15 meetings every single day. Now I'm down to about 2 days like that. And 3 days are just a lot of like work on the computer, strategy stuff, marketing, you know, biz dev, all that stuff.
That's great. I love that. This move, was this a long time desire or was this a sort of a spur of the moment? Like I need nature.
So we were looking for a house in Colorado forever and could not find anything. And so then during COVID, we thought, well, let's see if we can find a place on a lake, you know, because everything was in such disarray at the moment, you know, during all of that. We're like, let's see if we can find a place on a lake. And so we just looked up north and we found a place that checked a lot of the boxes. And we had never been to northern Michigan. And we're like, okay, let's give it a whirl. And so we drove up and we fell in love. So the rest is history.
I love it. So I assume your husband works from home as well.
That's correct.
Are you co-partners in the Clever Baby?
We are. Yeah.
How has that been?
Businesses together.
12 businesses? Is that what
no,
you said?
No, several. We've had, we have had 3 businesses together. We're good at working together in that way. We've been together since I was 19. So a really long time we've been together. And we kind of divide and conquer with everything, with the kids, with the work, with the, you know, businesses, all that stuff.
Right. What do you think? I know that there are a lot of people who are considering a partnership with their husband, or they are in a partnership with their husband. What do you think leads to that, you know, a good marriage, both in your personal life and in your professional life?
Yeah, I think knowing what your strengths are and staying in your lane, so to speak. Yeah, I think it's important to divide and conquer and know what your strengths are. If we had the same strengths, it probably wouldn't work as well.
Have you ever had to reevaluate your approach to business?
Yes, actually. I even think right now building a law firm is totally different than it was when I started the firm 14 years ago. It is totally different now with, you know, all of the social media, and then after, post-COVID even, everything is so different, which actually COVID was a good thing for, I think, breaking down some walls and increasing people's reach, because people are more used to now Zoom meetings and we don't have to be in the same place at the same time to meet. And so I think that it does create more opportunities.
So what has that looked like for you when you think about reevaluating your approach to building a business, to success, even to sort of what you're going for? How has that changed specifically for you?
So I think for me now, before I used to speak at a lot of events and stuff because I was traveling a lot, when I was building out the Denver and LA offices, I would, you know, take these, I'd call them my 21-hour days, where I would, you know, fly in, jam my day with meetings, lunches, dinners, fly back home the night at night. And I would do that for Denver and LA. And I think now, because I'm still not traveling as much, but that's because I just don't really feel like I have a need to. I think, you know, now it's important for me to create a lot of content and really help educate people in that way and just get it out through the social media platforms and build a community of people who want to start businesses and grow businesses and help prevent them from making mistakes. So we're building out some courses and some memberships, and we already have some fixed fee packages to kind of highlight those things. But I think it's very heavy now on content creation, as opposed to necessarily traveling and speaking at conferences and doing all those types of things, for me anyway.
Was there, aside from COVID, and maybe that's the answer, but was there a pivotal moment where you said, I just don't want to live my life like that anymore?
It was COVID. And you know what? I, now thinking back at how I did that all those years, like all these 21-hour days to Colorado, and then I would do a 48 hours to LA because it was further. And we would, again, jam our days so full. Like, looking back now, I'm really busy now, don't get me wrong. But looking back, I was like, geez, how did I do that for so long? Yeah. How did we manage to do that for so long? And I don't want to go back to it, which is why I haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no desire.
I think that's really important. What I find interesting is I just spoke to a woman on the podcast who was talking about seasons in your life, right? And I thought that was a great phrase to really articulate this. But when we're in that season, it feels like that's exhilarating, that's enlivening, that's also like what we have to do. And we're it's like this push. Like, there's this incredible, like, there's no other way, we have to do it like this. And we had some resilience there to be able to do it. But there comes a point where that becomes exhausting, and one doesn't want that anymore. It's not how the exhilaration isn't there to the same degree.
I don't want to get up at 4 a.m. to get ready for the 5:30 flight and then get home at, you know, 3 in the morning. No, thanks. I don't want to do it anymore. So finding other ways to grow the business, you know, is important. But again, I do think with the, you know, after post-COVID, people are definitely more open to opportunity and not having to be at the same exact place and waste that time. Because that is wasting time. All that travel, to all these different locations. That's wasting time.
And from what I'm hearing, it's not really part of your vision for an exquisite life. I talk a lot about what it means to create an exquisite life for oneself. So it's not part of your vision for that anymore. Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode. Is there anything in your life right now, like truth and transparency here, that, you know, if you were designing your exquisite life, you're like, I have not nailed that yet. Like, that is still elusive to me right now.
Teaching my daughter how to drive. Oh my gosh, she's doing a great job, but it's terrifying to teach your child how to drive. I would say, you know, I always tell her, I'm not built for this. Your dad has to teach you how to drive. I would say that's the only thing. I mean, otherwise, I really truly have built my life exactly the way that I wanted it, including like where we've opened offices. You know, I've opened the offices for the law firm in locations where I would want to regularly be. You know, we will open up another office, I know for sure, in the near term. But I just think it's important to, and I said this earlier, but assess what's right for your situation and then build your life around that. You know, I wouldn't be able to do all I do if I was working for somebody else. And I know, you know, it's a different kind of stress and pressure having your own business and, you know, you're juggling multiple things, but I truly wouldn't have it any other way. I love building businesses.
When you said you constructed your life, like you created this, you set out to do something and you did it. Has that always been in your nature, or did you learn that idea of like, oh, I can be deliberate here. I can set an intention. I can set a goal. And I understand many women in business, we set goals, we know how to do that, but we don't necessarily maybe think big enough or think outside of the box, or it doesn't, we think it has to be separate from our lives. Like they're not creating goals that are integrated with how they want their personal life to go. So did you always have that as a perspective, or did you learn that somewhere? Did someone teach you that?
I think I've always had it within me. I've always been a big planner and kind of had a vision in my head of where my life would be and what I would be doing. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a lot of patience though, because I think sometimes you don't get to where you want to be as quickly as you'd like to get there. But I think having the faith and just knowing that you're working toward, you know, whatever it is your vision is in your head every day is what's most important.
Yeah, I love that. And when things haven't gone well, when you know, you had the plan and there was a little or big detour. What are your self-soothing practices? How do you speak to yourself? What do you do in those cases?
I guess it depends on what it is. But I mean, tomorrow's another day, I always tell myself, right? Like, okay, well, it didn't work out right now, but let's, you know, I think I'm very good, and maybe being a lawyer is something to do with this. I'm very good at kind of assessing the situation, whether it's a disaster or whatever the case may be, and figuring out, okay, here's the disaster. Now, how are we going to get out of this? And what are we going to do type thing? I think my legal training has helped me with that, you know, assessing. It's really all about assessing risk.
Yeah. Which brings us back to the beginning of the conversation, right? That risk is part of being a good entrepreneur and, you know, understanding, assessing the risk, being educated around that as well. Yeah. So that's great. Okay. Before I ask my final questions, where can people find you?
Best place to find me is on LinkedIn, Tricia Meyer, TRICIAMEYER, or on TikTok under Meet the Meyer Crew. And in between each of those words, there's an underscore.
Okay. I love it. I love it. And then also look for the Clever Baby.
You can find
Target.
The Clever Baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you can find out more about the Clever Baby at thecleverbaby.com.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So final questions here. When you think of creating a life full of magic and beauty, what does that call up for you?
I would say spending time with my family, my kids, my family. You know, we do a lot together. We spend a lot of time together. Being surrounded by beauty from a nature standpoint, whether it be lakes or forests or whatever the case may be. And then I think helping educate the next generation of entrepreneurs. You know, if I can help somebody and prevent them from making a mistake, I mean, there's a lot that can go wrong with building a business. And so the more that I can help educate people, the better I'm living by, you know, why I think I'm here. It's my passion. And I think that's why I exist, is to help people understand things, you know, within their business that might give them issues, and then help them resolve those issues.
Has service always been a big piece to your business?
It has. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely what I'm passionate about. I'm not necessarily passionate about reading a 60-page contract and pointing out all of the risks, but talking with another entrepreneur, you know, founder to founder, and really understanding their business and really helping them set the foundational blocks for what they need to create a lot of value within their business and, again, prevent them from making those mistakes. Those are the things that really drive me with the firm.
I love it. So my final question for you is, how would you define living exquisitely? And what advice would you give someone who wanted to embody that?
I would say, live your life. It's my anthem. That song is my anthem. Live your life your way. Don't compare to others. Figure out what makes sense for your situation and make it happen, because there's nobody that's, you know, standing in your way other than yourself. I think a lot of people stand in their way. And so don't do that.
I love that. I love that. Live your life. I know someone's listening right now and that just landed hard for them. They're like walking their dog and they're like, oh my God, I needed to hear that. So thank you so much, Tricia. This has been a great conversation. I've so enjoyed having you on. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and the ways that you've navigated building your business and what you're doing going forward. And, you know, I wish you all the best and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. What a great conversation.
Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.